Welcome and thank you for listening to this message from Legacy Church New Braunfels. To connect with us, go to legacynb.com. Now enjoy this message from Brian Orm and Drew Neal from the Divine Intelligence Conference.
I was thinking...
How you doing, Brian?
I'm good, man. I thought of a story when we were together.
Tell a story, Brian.
Story time. So 2 years ago, I was invited to speak at a charismatic Roman Catholic event, and they wanted me to teach on the cloud of witnesses and the occult. And so Drew came out for the occult night.
Yes.
And so the cloud night, we were in an auditorium across the street from the church. The occult night was at the church that had no power.
Mm-hmm.
So there's power everywhere except the church. Has no power. So we walk in, and they start gathering like hundreds of candles to surround me to teach on the occult in a building that has some symbols that are tied to that world. And so, but there was such a hunger in the room, like the childlike faith was crazy. And so at the end, they're just like, hey, can you do some impartation? And so Drew and I we're praying, but a lot of times when we were praying, we're just kind of like together, you know, like this. We'd have our hands at each other's back. Every person went out.
Yeah.
Every single person. The priests were rolling around on top of each other.
There were literally 8 or 9 priests in the room, and they were literally in their robes and collars rolling in the floor under the power of God.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was fun.
And they're great people, actually. They're hungry for the presence of God.
Oh, yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun.
So I thought of that.
We handed out some brew that night.
We did. Vintage brew.
That's some vintage brew. That was a good barrel.
Uh-huh. Do you guys want any brew tonight? Yeah. A little vintage barrel.
Hey, you guys, if you could do us a favor, why don't you get out your phones real quick? Get out your phone. And no. We've had a few people ask questions about Brian and I's mentorship program. And I'm not going to talk about it a bunch right now. We might talk about it a little bit later on. But I want you to have the URL because it's a little confusing. It's Divine Intelligence. Type it in. DivineIntelligence.co. So it's not .com, it's .co, all right? And in there is a bunch of really, really good information. And I want to make sure before the night got out that you could know where that's at. It's not .com, it's .co. And it's where we're doing 9 months of training on a topic we want to start talking about tonight and introduce to you guys, which is wonder, wisdom, and understanding.
And the co is very key because we are co-laboring together.
Wow.
Yeah.
The co is
the co. It's all
collaborative.
About the co. It's very co.
It's collaborative brew. Yes.
So we're really passionate about this. You know, when we started the first round in School of Divine Intelligence, it was a bit of an experiment. You know, we weren't sure what was going to happen, and people from all over the world got tuned into this. And it was super rewarding to hear the feedback from people that were going through it. And so we definitely want to go the next round into the next place. And we really felt like wonder, wisdom, and understanding were three keys to that. And to really begin to unlock some of those places inside of us. You know, what is wonder? What is the key for wonder for us? Why is that important in the age that God has us in? Why is wisdom important? And wise understanding, how do those things work together? So it's going to be fun, man.
It'll be good. So I want to make sure you guys have the right URL there. And tonight we are going to get into wonder, wisdom, and understanding. And because we really believe that these three experiences are central to what God is doing right now. Have you ever been in a season where you just like, you know that God's elevating maybe a grace, a gift, a fruit, an experience, like a thought, there's a revelation. It's like, hey, I need to hang on to this for like the next 2 or 3 years, or the next 5 years, or maybe it's just the next week or the next month. God will give you something you know, Brian and I really believe that wonder, wisdom, and understanding, that there's something about these three components of the kingdom that are converging right now. And it's really important, I think, for us to pay attention, judge these types of things, and really go after it. It's interesting because Brian and I are, we're both forerunners. One of the things we have in common. And, you know, sessions like what you heard today or last night, nobody's doing this. Like, no one's talking about these things. When it comes to bringing the application of the kingdom into the physical realm while still keeping a supernatural value set in place. Like, we've looked. And we know all the people who are famous in Charismania. I mean, Churchianity. I mean, we know all these people. We've met these people. We've done conferences with these people. We've been in the green rooms with these people. And they're amazing people. They're phenomenal people. But the components that we're bringing are very, very much the next step. And Brian and I really represent, you know, a new wave of fathers and mothers that have been parented by these other amazing people and now are bringing the next piece on their shoulders. And, you know, and I'll speak for Brian. Like, Brian is amazing and has such a grace and a gift to bring people into understanding of things that feel mysterious. And, you know, it's like, have you ever felt just a certain way and then someone starts to talk and you're like, that's it. Wait, what'd you say? Yes, that's what I've been feeling that I couldn't put words to. The supernatural, the kingdom of God, is very much something that we've all felt, but maybe at times didn't feel like we had language for, right? And one of the things I honor about Brian is that God's gifted him with the ability to bring definition to things that felt more mysterious or inaccessible, and now they begin to be accessible. And this is this experience that I'm talking about with Brian is about to move at scale within the body of Christ. There's a wave of understanding that's about to come in a profound way. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a moment. But I want to encourage you guys to join us on a journey. You know, tonight we're going to open some things up, and we're not here because we're the experts. We're here because we're willing vessels, and we believe God has invited us into something, and we would love for you to go on a journey with us to discover the depths of what's possible behind these things. And so I'm really excited about tonight, and thought we could talk about some wonder here first, Brian.
Yeah. Before we do, let me ping it to you, my friend.
Oh, ping away, my friend.
More ping. So Drew, if you don't know, when you get around him, it's like you learn how to do things. He has a really amazing gift of wisdom on his life. And so I love being around him because I'm like, yeah, there we go. Let's do this. I know how to do it now. And I think it's powerful us being together because God brought us together. It connected us because when wisdom and understanding work together, by wisdom a house is built. And understanding it's established. It's a building and establishing thing. So I just honor that in you, man.
Thanks so much, bro.
Yeah. Come on.
Thanks so much. You know, one of the things that, you know, we're talking about some of the things that are unique about us, you know, we're going to talk about understanding and wisdom tonight. And while we both carry those things, we do champion them in unique ways. The thing that has brought united Brian and I was our passion for God and his presence. And this idea of wonder. How many guys have had your mind blown away a little bit in the last 10 years by how big and how good God was, you know? I mean, I've experienced that in so many amazing ways. But honestly, I'm so grateful for my parents. My parents have been in ministry all my life. And now they run a mission out of the nation of Burundi. They live there in Africa 6 months out of the year. And they're amazing people. But we planted 4 churches together as a family when I was growing up. And so we move around the Midwest, plant, push off, plant, push off, plant, push off. But I was marked by God as a child by his wonder. And the first experience I had 3 significant encounters with the Lord that just marked me. Number one was I was 8 years old. I was diagnosed with lymphoma, and I had a tumor on the side of my neck. It was about the size of a softball, cut in half and slapped on my neck. And man, we had just a Sunday night service, an evangelist was in town, and the church prayed for me, And I was so touched by the power of God, I couldn't stand. I'm on the floor for about 45 minutes, which was a sign and a wonder in and of itself that an aggressive 8-year-old boy sat on the floor and didn't move for 45 minutes. My parents were like, "More Lord, more Lord, you know, do it again, do it again." And so the next morning, you guys, that tumor was completely dissolved. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise for that. Isn't that cool? Completely gone. No cancer, no sign of the tumor. It was gone. About 9 months later, I was actually at a youth camp, and it was my 9th birthday, July 7th, 1988. And I am at this youth camp, and that night, I was a pastor's kid, and I was already really religious at 9 years old. This is how religious I was. They did an altar call, and I said, "I'm better than everyone else in the room because I'm a pastor's kid, so I shouldn't answer the altar call." At 9 years old, you guys. That's why I always start with, "Hi, my name's Drew. I'm a recovering Pharisee. It's been a few years and a few days since my last judgment." And, you know, I mean, I'm pro, guys, pro Pharisee. I was in it. And so that night, though, I was so aware of God that I was like, you know what? All these kids got filled with the Spirit down at the altar. And I was like, "Lord, like, I actually want that, but my ego's too big to say that I'm in need, you know, or that I desire something that someone else has." Pride was terrible. And so, wouldn't you know it, that night in my bed on my 9th birthday, the Spirit of God visited me. And I was filled with the Holy Spirit, started speaking in other tongues right there, 2 o'clock in the morning in my bed. And it was remarkable. And about a year later, missionaries who were Americans that had been working in Guatemala came for sabbatical in the States. They showed up at the church that we were pastoring one Sunday morning. They said the Lord gave them turn-by-turn directions to come to our church. So they're originally from Nevada, and we were in Kentucky at the time. And so the Lord had told them just where to drive, and they pulled into our parking lot on a Sunday morning, and God said, "Stay here for the next 3 months." So the family walks in, and we're in a small church, and so, you know, back in that time, if you had visitors, it was like, "Oh, hey, visitors! Nice to see ya! Come here!" You know, and then they would run out the door, right, you know? But the wife of the family was a prophet, and she believed everyone could hear God's voice, which was radical for 1989. And so they end up moving in with us, and for 3 months, we all homeschooled. And so for 3 months, we would, in the morning, do devotionals together, and she started equipping us and activating us on hearing God's voice. And so I began to just believe it was natural to hear God's voice. And so in wonder, three things were birthed in me, and it was that God is my provider, God is close, and God is always speaking. And that wonder-filled experience marked me in my childhood, and it birthed a passion for intercession. I used to go to prayer meetings, and I would pray for 3 hours as a kid. And I had a spot in the sanctuary. I'd go and pray, and then I'd go terrorize my siblings afterwards. And, like, it was odd. But, man, I was marked by it. And, honestly, those three revelations are the foundation of my ministry today. Wonder's an amazing thing.
Love it, man. Yeah, I was 16 years old. I mentioned I grew up in a Christian home. And actually, I was 15 at this time. So when I get bored, there's usually not good outcomes to those things when I was a kid. And so there was a place being built right by our neighborhood, a brand new neighborhood. And so you could still get into these homes. And so my friend and I went in, and it was this 3-story home that didn't have all the ducts in yet. And so we were like tossing 2x4s down, and like they would splinter at the bottom. Like, "This is cool. We're just wasting wood," right? And this police car pulls up, and we're like, "Let's get out of here." So we're running, and I jump over a pile of wood. My foot catches, and there's a rock, big rock, that big, shaped like this. And when I fall over, these two bones hit the rock, and they snap all the way through. So my wrist goes like that. So I run home. My mom's like, "How did that happen?" I'm like, "We'll get to that later. Let's get to the hospital first." So the doctor's like, "Hey, this is a really bad break. And so we'll do our best to reposition, you know, the bones. But there's just no way it's going to be perfectly aligned." And my mom stops and says, "They will be perfectly aligned." And the doctor just kind of looks at her and goes, I'm going to pray. You're going to set it, and it will be perfectly aligned. So this doctor literally is laughing at my mom. So she prays, and they set it. It's very excruciating, but they set it. And then about 30 minutes later, I mean, we're waiting. I'm like, why is it taking so long? My mom's like, oh, I know why it's taking so long. And so this guy walks in with about 8 other doctors. And he's like, look, I've been a doctor 37 years. And he puts up the first x-ray. And it's all jacked up, right? The second x-ray, you can't even see a hairline fracture on the wrist.
Come on.
And in that moment, I'm just going, because the thing about like a miracle, a sign, and a wonder, it demands a response. And for me, it was a window to wonder of what is possible. Like when you look at this, like this is not possible in the natural. Like it's just not. And then fast forward, I go through a season where I'm pretty jaded. I'm in a Bible college. It was super religious, so that was awesome. It was really, really fun. Almost got kicked out twice for things. And so this guy comes up. I'm working construction on the campus one summer, and he says, hey, there's this revival breaking out in Brownsville, or Pensacola, Florida, this church called Brownsville. And I said, aren't there white beaches there? And he says, yeah. I said, I'll go. My only motivation is the white beaches. It's not the revival. And so we go, we drive down there. We get to this church. It's probably, I think, 1 or 2 in the afternoon. The service was supposed to start at 7. And there's hundreds of people everywhere, like pods of people. They're worshiping. And I'm trying to understand, why are they here? Like maybe there's an afternoon service. So I go up to a pod, like, is there like a 3 o'clock service? No, it's at 7. I'm like, that's like 6 hours from now. Why are you here? Oh, we're just hungry. So I had no grid for hunger. So I literally asked, like, are they giving away prizes? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. And so we just bounce around until the doors open. Then it's like Black Friday at Walmart. So we get caught into it. We're running to get in there. And with all the overflows, I think it was 7,000 or 8,000 people from all over the world. And the day before, I said, God, if this is all there is with ministry, I don't want to do that. I like you. I just don't want this because it does not align with what I'm reading in the New Testament. And so end of the service comes. This guy says, hey, somebody said this yesterday. God, if this is like verbatim what I said, why don't you respond? But I'm so jaded, like just totally honest here. I'm like, why is no one responding? Who is this person? What is going on? So they give a call for prayer, and people are falling, shaking. Everything's offending me. Everything is offending me. And I'm looking around like, you're looking like a fool. Like, what's going on? And no one's praying for me, probably because I'm emanating in a field of judgment. And so this woman comes over, and I asked her.
Your graph was very intense.
It was this. I know it's not appropriate to ask a woman her age, but I did. I'm like, how old are you? Because it was like, how are you still alive? Was kind of the. She's like, I'm 94 years old. And I was like, wow. And so she's like, can I pray for you? And I said, yeah. I just don't want to fall or shake. And she says, you know, two kinds of people come up here a lot. Those that want to fall and shake and those that don't. And she said, neither are focused on Jesus. Can you just focus on him? And I said, yes, profound sage.
It's remarkable.
And so.
Neither are focused on Jesus.
Yeah. 94 years old, that's what will happen. And so I said, yeah, let's pray. So I lift my hands, my eyes are open. She has a little bit of oil. She's a foot away. No one's touching me. And I'm lifted vertically off the floor, 1 foot, and slammed on the ground. And it wasn't like, thank you, Lord. It was like, boom! And it hurt, and it was loud. And my face is red because I'm like, everyone's looking at me because the fear of man was an issue. And I was like, everybody's looking at me. And I said, God, is this you? And he says, yeah. And I said, what? What exactly are we doing? And he says, well, he goes, you think you understand who I am, and you've judged my sons and daughters because of a lack of understanding, and you just need to let me do what I need to do. I said, okay. So I started doing crunches. So fear of man, I look like a fool, my face is really red, But what was happening is every time I would exhale, something would lift. And about 2 minutes into it, God says, you can make it stop if you want. You just have to decide, do you want the fear of man or do you want to be set free? And I said, well, I know the answer to that question. And I said, hey, this, whatever it takes. So for an hour and a half, I'm doing crunches. You ever done crunches? Like 60 seconds in, and it's like, I don't know how much more I can do here. This is an hour and a half. I stood up. This is the last piece. I stood up.
He had a supernatural six pack. Instantly.
Now
right
it's
there.
Packaged into a DVD. And so, get set free and abs at the same time. Come on, everybody.
Pray 90X.
Let it lift. So I stand up.
I'm making a t-shirt with that, Pray 90X. <That's funny.
laughs> I don't remember this part. My friend said, you looked around kind of just for a few minutes, and then I said to my friend, I don't know if I was saved before. Like, I don't know if I knew him before. And what began to happen is this childlike, I was like, I want to know everything. I want to know how everything works. So I started asking lots of questions. Like, when Adam and Eve fell, they lost their wonder. They covered themselves. They were separating themselves. When we lose wonder, we lose connection. Not just with God, but with one another.
Self-awareness there, right? Or, yeah. It's powerful. There's, you know, keeping your eyes on Jesus is like a pretty remarkable thing to learn to do in the midst of every situation. Like in the midst, so like the enemy loves to rob us through disappointment, which is all he has to do is just kind of meddle with like what your expectation is. You know, because how many have ever been disappointed over just unmet expectations? Most of our disappointment is simply unmet expectations. It's not even that something evil happened. It's just that what happened is not what we thought was going to happen. And I found that when it comes to wonder, this foundational truth of keeping our eyes on Jesus is the way that we overcome disappointment. Because when our expectation is Jesus, everything always works out to our benefit and for our good. You want to talk about being unoffendable? Keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, I mean, I'm not like, you're not just going to yellow truck me. Like, I got boundaries. I'm good with that. But it doesn't matter what you do, you can't steal anything away from me that God can't give back times 100 in my life. Because I'm one with the one who knows and has access to all things. I am captured by wonder. I am captured by his majesty. I'm captured by his abundance. I'm captured by his goodness. I'm captured by his mercy. I'm captured by his redemption. Come on, somebody. I'm captured by it. Like, I mean, my eyes will not waver, because when you look love in the face, you can't turn your head. And it's like, we're talking about some of the functional components of building heaven on earth. We're going to get into that tonight. But I tell you what, none of that's happening because you were looking down or looking at yourself or looking at the brew crew or looking at, you know, the pastors in the house. Like, it happens when our gaze is set on Jesus. And we got to, like, look love in the face and, like, make, like, have some conviction in our hearts about what's possible when our eyes are locked on Jesus.
It's good, man. I mean, skepticism, pessimism, criticism, cynicism are all the fruits of unhealed disappointment.
Calvinism.
T-shirts galore.
Yes.
Uh-oh, barrels are coming out.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So when you respond to life, skeptical, cynical, critical, we've all been there. It's a picture that I've made a relationship with disappointment. I've become more comfortable with disappointment than I have of wonder. And I lose sight of my capacity in Christ. I lose sight of my capacity of others. Because the wonder piece, we lose connection. And if I lose connection, I can't see you properly because I can't honor you properly without connection. And it's really critical to pay attention to how we respond. Like I was in a meeting and a guy said, hey, I really liked what you had to say. It just didn't apply to me. And I was like, okay, thanks for letting me know that. And so I just let him talk because he was talking, you know, through some things. And I just kept quiet. And all of a sudden he said something. And I said, do you realize what you just said? He goes, no. I said, you said this. Oh, actually what you said did apply to me then. It's like out of the mouth, the heart is going to speak. Like pay attention to what comes out of your mouth because there are words there that are going to tie into, hey, am I in a space of wonder or have I built a relationship with disappointment?
It's powerful.
And so, like, I think we all just, like, want God to blow our minds away. If we're going to be sold out for the kingdom, it has to be birthed out of that. And it's interesting because there's some people who are more likely to surrender to wonder. You know, the more analytical you are in your mindset, the more, it costs you to surrender to letting God do things that you haven't figured out yet. Right? And so it's interesting because there's kind of two camps of people in the church, and they kind of camp in these two spaces, the people who are like, nothing is measurable, and the camp that everything is hyper-functional, right? And in this space, you know, we try to say it's about people, and in this space, we try to say it's about the organization, you know, but how many know that it's actually about both, isn't it? The kingdom is about people, but we have to have structure so that we can be consistent. And to something we want to talk about tonight, well, I've been passionate about this concept right here. And I really believe that there's a default understanding. Like when we talk about wonder, it's so easy to be like, well, that's about God, right? Like wonder's about God and wonder is about the Holy Spirit, and wonder is about heaven, and wonder is about the angels, and wonder is, you know, it's easy to give God credit for wonder, right? It's like in a contextual thing of like church and the kingdom, wonder is like, well, that's God's part, right? Right? It's like, okay, well, God's responsible for wonder. And then we start talking about wisdom, or we start talking about understanding, and then the conversation shifts pretty quickly. And when it comes to wonder, we measure God. When it comes to wisdom and understanding, we start measuring ourselves. Come on. Which is incorrect.
That's right. All the way through.
You see, we need solutions for the world's greatest problems right now. And let's just talk about it. The world's a little bit of a mess.
Yeah.
Right? How many know that we need solutions right now? You know, there is a reality where people can speak what is true, and yet in plain sight, it's obvious to everyone, and yet we still deny the truth. The level of deception that's among us right now is insane, right? And so we need real solutions, actually, about how to overcome the deception that people are living in today. Simply because of it's a big, long conversation to get into. But ultimately, we don't need man's wisdom for the problems of today. We don't need man's understanding for the problems of today. We need God's wisdom and God's understanding. But the thing that's interesting is that wonder happens in the unseen, and wisdom and understanding are predominantly manifest in the seen realm. And so I think it's really easy for us to believe that when we talk about wisdom and understanding, that it is only about a physical representation or about my ability. And we disqualify God's role or God's ability to represent those things when it comes to physical, natural solutions and how we integrate. And so right now what we have is we have a conundrum where the wonder camp is at odds with the wisdom camp. They're in tension with one another. You could even say the faith crowd and the wisdom crowd aren't getting along. And it's a conundrum because Wonder is a substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, right? The evidence of things not seen. It's the unseen realm. And this is in the seen realm. Because wisdom is a blueprint. Wisdom is something we have to be able to read. When wisdom is active and it produces something, it has a physical result, meaning it's a strategy. So we talked about last night, words of knowledge are supernatural facts. What's wisdom? Supernatural strategies. It's the same word in the Greek they use for blueprints. All right? And so the hard thing about the unseen and the seen world beginning to commingle, aka heaven on earth, is that we need those who are not able to measure, those who understand things in the future, to surrender to the process of divine wisdom allowing to show us how we're going to get there. Let me give you an example. We talked about the door earlier. And let's say that by faith or in wonder, that door is made obvious to me in the future, right? That door doesn't exist, but I know I'm called to go to the door. By faith and by wonder, I've seen miracles happen, a prophetic word comes, all the things happen, and it's amazing, right? And all of a sudden, I know there's a door in the future. Has anyone ever had that moment where divinely, either it's a prophetic word, you just know, you have a dream, you know there's a door in your future? We've all been there, right? We just know. God has shown us. And so what faith or wonder leads us into is this idea that we just have a default assumption that I'm going to walk straight to the door. Because we like straight lines, right? And so point A, point B, shortest distance is a straight line, right? And so the challenge, though, is that In on earth, we actually need to build a strategy about how to not just find the door, know its location, but know how to get there. And what happens oftentimes is that people will bump up against things in front of them and then shift their faith from knowing that the door is there to start to deal with the chair that's in front of them. And the core assumption is that that chair is against me because it's in the way of me getting to that door, and I know God gave me that door. So the hard thing is when someone's sitting in the chair, because now there's a person in the way. And all of a sudden, my faith for that door has to now violate this person because I have to get to that door. And this is where the mess of faith shows up. Because faith has this great expectation on the future, but doesn't account for how. It just knows that something is. So what does wisdom do? Wisdom is a blueprint. Wisdom says, oh, you want to get to that door? Let me tell you how to get there. Turn left. No. No. False prophet. False prophet. We are going to the door. God said there's a door. I believe there's a door. Who's coming with me? Down, 52. I mean, we're going to blow through this thing. I speak against you, chair. I curse you, chair. Generational curses must fall in the name of Jesus. Handmaiden of the devil, get out of the way. We rebuke you in Jesus' mighty name. And we start sinistercizing every person and circumstance in the way. Come on, girl. Thank you. You're not the devil. Come on. And so wisdom says, turn left. And take 5 steps and then turn right. Faith has to learn. Wonder, what we learn in wonder, has to submit itself to wisdom so that we can begin to realize the manifestation of the thing we know by faith from that location. We are currently right here as the church in the tension of the unseen and the seen, learning how to bring the divine into a physical manifestation that we'd build heaven on earth.
Awesome, man. It's a little house. And there's a bit of overlap because wisdom's sourced from heaven. but it is manifested on earth. And if you look at, the earth was founded by wisdom. The earth. And that wisdom is looking for, when the book of Proverbs it talks about partnering with people on the earth, that wisdom referred to as a woman took delight in the sons of God. Wisdom is all about the earth, all about the sons and daughters of God to partner. Wisdom was the architect of creation, it says. The architect with the Father, the architect of creation, referred to as a woman. Got to have a woman there. Something's going to go haywire if you're building something, right? And so there's this partnership with wisdom that is really key. And I want you to maybe think of it differently than just a substance, but an actual person. Proverbs is clear that wisdom is a person. There's a personification of wisdom. And that co-laboring, that with the heart of the Father and the mind of Christ, wisdom can begin to partner, that things can begin to happen, the how-to, and to build something. Wisdom is all about building. Like, wisdom and understanding to me are about reformation. Like, wonder begins to spill into Renaissance. It's like where there's this creativity and expression and all these things that come from the place of wisdom and understanding. That's why I love that we're doing these together, because it's not like they're all separate. They're all working together for the same purpose, that heaven would be manifest on earth. And in wisdom's hands, you have long life. You have riches and honor. Wisdom comes with longevity, resource, and honor. And it says in Proverbs that if we would exalt wisdom, she will honor us. Isn't that crazy? Like, exalting someone is not worshiping them. It's bringing just honor to who they are. And so both Drew and I have had some encounters with the person of wisdom. And when you encounter the person of wisdom, things happen that are beyond what you could have done on your own. And so I want to just throw that out to you to go to the book of Proverbs, study the person of wisdom, and to use that as a framework to engage with the person of wisdom. To actually begin to say, I honor wisdom. I thank you, God, that there is wisdom available, that the person of wisdom has been made available to the sons and daughters of God. And so I just set my expectation and my intention that through wisdom and that connection to the person of wisdom, I will know when to build it, how to build it, where to build it, and whom to build it with.
It's powerful. You get to know how. Jesus paid for you getting to know how. How many of you guys would agree with the statement, I would have had more impact thus far in my life had I known how to do a few particular things that I wanted to do, but I didn't do, or I didn't add to what I was doing that would have elevated my impact. I got five hands in the air right now. I mean, my goodness. It's like I'm at my own five hands, not you. I mean, there's been moments like if I just knew how to do that thing, like I'm doing this, but that would take it to the next level, but I don't know how, nor do I know who knows how to do that. Except that's actually not true. Because I'm one with the one who knows all things. I am one with the one who knows all things. I am one with the one who knows all things. Which means I get to know how. Jesus says it, right? In John 15, he says, hey, I no longer call you slave, I call you friend. And then he redefines the relationship of why it's different. He said, because a slave doesn't know what its master is doing. So I no longer call you a person who doesn't know. I call you friend, which tells us something about what a friend is. What's a friend? It's someone who knows. Friendship in Jesus includes me getting to know the things that the Father is doing, saying, becoming, growing in. And so we need divine strategies. We need divine blueprints so that we can execute our purpose on the earth at the level of heaven that's ready to be made manifest in the earth. And so I love Proverbs chapter 3 that Brian just mentioned. In verse 9, it says, God founded the earth in wisdom. God blueprinted the earth in wisdom. Isn't it interesting? It doesn't say he founded the heavens in wisdom. It says he founded the earth in wisdom. Heaven, what we think about, what we talk about when we think about heaven, however you define it, already existed, right? So wisdom already existed, and wisdom allowed for the blueprinting of the earth, which means we need divine wisdom to build earthly things. Now, was the earth developed in completeness? Yes, it was. Did the illusion of sin change our perception of that? Yes. Has it had ramifications? Yes. Are we meant to restore that? Yes. How do we do that? Wisdom. Wisdom will restore the earth so that heaven will be made manifest on it. And so I like in Exodus chapter 31, also very good. Exodus 31, 1. This is the story of Bezalel and Oholiab. Oholiab, hard names to say. Classic Hebrew stuff here. Exodus 31, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, and the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. Someone say, wonder. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, and with knowledge of all kinds of skills. So good. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I've given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I've commanded to you. The tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant, with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table, and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and its utensils, and the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons as they serve the priest, and the anointing oil, and fragrance incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I command you. Moses, by faith and wonder, he sees Bezalel architects and Aholiab builds. And in this place, something opens up. And if you go on and read in chapter 31 there, there's actually things that says that Moses couldn't comprehend how it would be possible. But he saw the picture. He explained the picture, and it says that Bezalel translated the picture and figured it out because of the Spirit of the Lord upon him. We need people who have divine wisdom on their life that are able to take the data from the unseen and turn it into something physical in the scene. Were any of you guys in Vacaville when the instrument maker was there? Did you hear that story? Have you guys heard that story? Okay. I'm not great on the story. It's a long one. But the short of it is, God showed a young man who's an instrument maker in a dream. He showed him a drum. And it was what? Tutanountain people. It was a tribe that in the dream, he basically figures out there's a tribe of people that are near the Philippines. And there's this drum in the dream. And there's a chief in the dream. There's a bunch of different variables. But ultimately, the short of the story is, there's a drum. And he's looking at this drum in the dream, and God gives him a blueprint for how to make this drum. Now, it was unlike anything he'd ever seen before. And so he told me after I heard this testimony, that he had to make it four different ways because he kept breaking the wood because it was so complex to make. Like, essentially, the wood couldn't hold the tension of the rods and the skin and how it was being constructed. It seemed nearly impossible. Long story short, this tribe didn't exist on the internet, doesn't exist anywhere, but God ends up having him meet a person when I think he had the drum with him, I think is how the story goes. He had the drum with him, meets the person like at an airport or something, I don't remember the story, and goes with this person on a bike into like terrorist country, risks his life, walks into this tribe, and the chief from his dream is right there. And the instrument he made is a legacy instrument of their tribe that they hadn't had in over 50 years. And they knew that when the instrument would come back, that God was going to visit them. I mean, that's remarkable. In this tribe, totally encounters God, gets out of paganism, and has this radical encounter because this instrument maker had a wisdom download about something that doesn't exist on the internet for a people that don't exist on the internet either. But they were real. And God knew, and God gave him the blueprint in the dream, and he was obedient to the blueprint and got ready to do it. It's remarkable. We need wisdom like never before, which is the architect's anointing. And I believe that in the restoration of words of wisdom as a spiritual gift, that we're going to see the architect's anointing really begin to flourish like we've never seen before.
It's awesome. I think it was 100 years.
100 years.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like I said,
it's crazy.
The crux of the story is true. The details might not be.
It's amazing.
What was his name? Caleb Byerly. Look him up online. I think he's like, yeah, he's YouTubed the story before. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's great.
Should be made into a movie.
Should be a movie.
Into anime. Anyways. So I want you to look at the materials in this church real quick. We got some wood, metal, carpet, concrete. Where'd all that stuff come from? The earth. So we source wisdom from heaven. The materials we need are in the earth. And then we sing the song, "The whole earth is full of his glory." You ever go barefoot on a beach or in a prairie? They call it grounding, and you feel better. Your body feels better. It's because the glory of God that's in the earth is coming through the soles of your feet to the crown of your head. Because the glory of God is in the earth. So like we're standing on the resources that we need. There's supply in the earth. There's supply in the earth. I know this might sound crazy to you, but I speak to the earth. Moses did. He said, "Hear me, O earth." Do you know the occult knows how to use this ancient technology of speaking to the earth to make things happen? They'll take dirt in their hands and speak a curse into that dirt. They'll put it on a building, a business that they want to fail, and it will fail. Why? Because the earth responds to the sons and daughters of God. It responds to humanity, obedience or disobedience. It will respond. So why should they have all the fun? What if we walked around and you walked your property and you walked the city and you literally just knelt down on the land and you said, "I just call forth supply for what we need." Earth, bring the supply that we need for my family, for this church, for our business. I call forth supply from the earth. And we have a source from heaven and a source from the earth. And there's this merger to actually build something tangible that heaven will rest upon. How amazing is it that we can co-labor with God and co-create with God? And we're literally standing many times on the solution that we need. Right below our feet.
So there's something available for us in wisdom that we're alive for right now that's being restored. And I think we need to have faith for that, for the full restoration of that. But obviously, just because you have a blueprint, how many know that we need a builder? Blueprints need builders. You know, have you ever talked to a contractor and you're trying to get them to do work in your house? And you're trying to explain to them your vision for what you want to do? And they're like, do you have any blueprints? Because, like, I mean, I'm not really sure exactly what you're talking about, you know? Because contractors have language and they talk in certain terms. And so when a homeowner is trying to explain to them in homeowner terms of their own ideas, it doesn't translate, right? And so the blueprint synergizes multiple experts, experts in concrete, experts in wood, experts in shingles, experts in electrical, plumbing, right? These are all subject matter experts that align their unique gift for the common cause of building something bigger than an individual. So Habakkuk 2:2 says, write the vision, make it plain, that those who read it may run towards it. One of our greatest deficiencies is that as charismatic believers is that we are so over leveraged with talking about things that we don't do anything. Right? So let's just talk about that for a second. Why is that? So we have two words here. We have prophet and we have profit. We have P-R-O-P-H-E-T is profit in the unseen. And then we have profit, P-R-O-F-I-T, which is profit in the seen world. These words are actually correlated. Profit in the unseen means to advance with words. Profit in the seen is to advance with action. To prophesy is to advance with words. To be profitable is to advance sustainably with action. And so what's happening right now is that as we've birthed the prophetic movement, as we've reestablished it in the last 100 years, we have to make a decision if we're just going to camp here with talking about the future, or if we're going to begin to accept responsibility and advance things with action that are connected to the things that God has said. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says, the wise man is like those that build their house upon the rock because they heard and they did what I commanded them. Wisdom requires me to hear and to do. Yeah? Anytime you see faith, you know someone did what? They listened. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? But anytime you see something physical, you know that someone had wisdom. Because anything that's been built needed a plan. And so how can we begin to take what we hear in the prophetic and begin to build into the physical realm? We got to begin to ask this question. And so there's a need for us to take this component of the priestly ministry and marry it with the kingly ministry. You see, we need priests and we need kings. Because we're actually all called to be both, aren't we? And so once we have a blueprint, we can now begin to hand this off to individuals to build the thing that we need to have. Now, here's also something exciting, and just because you're an empowering group of people, you enjoy this. The truth is that it's rare that someone has all three of these abilities. Those that listen and gain a vision, those who can listen to the visionary and create a blueprint, and those who can build what it says to build on the blueprint. And so what we're needing here is we are needing people full of wonder. I think I'm calling them treasurers. We need treasurers, architects, and builders to begin to unite like never before. We need treasurers, architects, and builders to come together like never before and be sourced from the divine while they do it. Those who hear with great precision, those who draw with great precision, and those who can assemble with great precision. And so we need to begin to open up this idea of understanding. And, you know, Brian has this tremendous ability to build structure through language for people who are having all kinds of wonder-filled things. Brian has a gift, actually, in all three of these, when it comes to the mystical realm, to bring people into experiences where they would be able to hear, have a blueprint, and then be able to build off of what it is that they're experiencing in the unseen world. And so the builder's anointing begins to really create governance for us, which is really exciting. And, bro, I'd love for you to press into the understanding piece.
Awesome stuff, man. I mean, understanding begins with we're standing under the revelation that we're seated with Christ. So we have a position, a cosmic position in Christ. Just as wonder is sourced in heaven, wisdom is sourced in heaven, understanding is sourced in heaven. Understanding comes as a result of light. Ephesians chapter 1. I pray the eyes of your heart would be flooded with light so that you will understand the hope of his calling, the riches of his inheritance. We can't understand without light. If God interacts with us outside of the measure of the light that we're walking in, we will not understand. Now, sometimes he does this to get us where we need to be. So it doesn't make sense. But there's the faith piece that knows we're supposed to go to that door. Right? I don't understand what the door is or how I'm supposed to get to the door. I just know I'm supposed to get to the door. And then God is kind because then he begins to source these other pieces for us. But what I love about understanding is it brings a framework from what started in the undetectable space in wonder, in the non-local, and then it's begun to transition. Remember, we're the transitioning agent. We're the light of the world. So just as light comes with understanding, light comes with us being the transition point here, going from prophet to prophet, unseen to seen. Then we begin to, as a result of illumination, then begin to know what to build. This is just one example that's just coming to me. I haven't done this, but maybe this is meaning, has some type of meaning for someone here. What if intercession that's happening here, we're interceding for the city, for the region, we're seeing things, we're hearing things, we're sensing things, we're knowing things, we're articulating it, we're writing it out, we're drawing it out. What if that began to be ground out into legislation? So like the laws and policies of a city and a region are actually flowing from a place of wonder. Now, are you going to go down to the Capitol and be like, hey, so we had this prayer meeting, and I saw the four living creatures, they came in, and there was this rainbow river that just began to flow. It was flowing up my leg, and, you know, right, this is not going to connect at all. So what understanding does is, I remember Dano tells the story of a guy who worked for Mercedes-Benz, and he has this encounter, is a dream, about a 10-year plan for Mercedes-Benz. Now, he presented it to all the executives. He was pretty high up in Mercedes. He didn't say, hey, guys, I had a prophetic dream last night. I was listening to Misty Edwards right before I went to bed, and just, man, it just really helped me enter in. He's like, hey, so I think I got an idea for us. So he puts it into a PowerPoint presentation. He builds this thing into something that makes sense. What if we did this? All the executives say, that's our 10-year plan. So the business is acting on something that started in wonder. Then this guy partners with wisdom to construct this thing, put a blueprint to it, and then with understanding language to it. And then these people, many of which who don't have a relationship with God, say, let's do that. And so now what happens to the business is it prospers. All the employees prosper because the business is prospering. Like the Father really actually wants people to prosper. Like prosper in their health, prosper in their finance, their relationships. In every area of our life, He wants us to prosper. Actually, to a city, they rejoice when the righteous prosper. Yes, we need more light. Right? The cities rejoice when the righteous prosper. Like your prosperity opens up a realm for people to come into. That word rejoice actually means to delight in grace. That a city begins to delight, there's the light, begins to delight in the grace of God as a result of someone who started in wonder, partners with wisdom, partners with understanding. Now, if you want to get a little crazy, you want to get a little crazy? In the book of Proverbs, it would seem that wisdom and understanding are kin. So wisdom is also not just a substance. It seems to be a person. I'll just let you chew on that, though.
Sophia. Wisdom.
Yeah.
It is really interesting. This is, we need to wrap here. But one of the reasons why wisdom is elevating right now is actually because of the proliferation of the female voice. Like, things are readjusting so much. Like, even so, I do a lot of development with founders, business owners. And one of the things that every business is realizing that it needed to do was to have more emotional and social responsibility inside of the business plan of the organization. And what these things are is a maternal instinct is being introduced into the world of business right now. And so people are becoming more collaborative in business. Why? It's the maternal instinct. Companies are having to create a more family culture in the business. Why? It's the maternal instinct. And so there's actually a family government is being established in the marketplace right now where businesses are deciding that they want to run communities. Like, where'd this come from? Like what? You know, if you'd have told someone 15 years ago that their business was going to run a community, they'd have told you you're crazy. There's no money in community, they would have told you. It didn't help the bottom line. But as the maternal instinct is being partnered with the paternal instinct, we're seeing that elevate. It's also one of the reasons why we are seeing the signs and wonders movement explode. Because spirit is female. So the word ruach in the Hebrew is a female word. It's a female designation. And so one of the reasons why we're seeing the explosion of power being empowered into the body of Christ is, first of all, women are collaborative, more collaborative than men by design, and they also have that sixth sense that we always talk about, that we make jokes about. Women just know things through intuition. Why is there a proliferation of spirituality, even for people who don't know God? Because the maternal instinct is being proliferated in the culture right now. And so it's interesting because the enemy has wanted to rob the father out of the culture. But in the midst of that war, and it is a war, we now have a generation that has been majorly influenced by the maternal instinct, which means they speak the language of the spirit. And so what the enemy meant for evil, God is actually going to redeem. And we're going to have fathers and mothers. But it's going to be a healthy combination. And we're going to have depth and maturity like we have never seen before. We want the earth to... God founded the earth. What is the earth? It is a womb. It's a womb. This is a family thing. Wisdom and understanding. We're going to build heaven on earth when we decide to do it like a family. Yeah. And we have the anointing of men who are fathers and the anointing of women who are mothers. And we begin to build a family. And if we'll accept responsibility to build a kingdom family on the earth, all the other structure will come into play. Yeah. We'll win it all. And so it's what an exciting time to be alive, to see all voices be dignified as valuable, to find place and to find the freedom to express these things in the kingdom. This is not feminism. This is not politics. This is about the dignity of value that inside of God is full female and male. You know, this broke my heart. I got a questionnaire for a recommendation on a pastor trying to get a job at another church. And it was a PDF of a physically printed piece of paper. And I could see it because it had all the Xerox marks on it, you know, like it had been copied multiple times, meaning it was old. And every single pronoun in the questionnaire was male. Meaning that only men were ever going to fill out this questionnaire. Because only men obviously would be in ministry, right? Ha ha ha. God is both male and female. He's as much female as he is male. Women have been completely made in the image of God. As have I, as a male. And since I'm not a problem, I'm a solution, I'm willing to get on board with making sure that the voice of the woman is a part of every wise decision that's made, because wisdom will be incomplete unless both voices are able to be a part. Come on, somebody. Yeah. It's real. It's real. Women are not relegated to the nursery duty. They're not limited to Sunday school teaching. They're not limited to the meal train. Come on.
Yeah, I was in a meeting once, a church meeting. It was exciting. And they said...
It's like the church meeting of all church meetings.
Oh, yeah.
That day.
And they're like, hey, and the topic of women teaching in this region came up. And this guy was like, yeah, we don't allow women to teach in the church. And so I asked him, I said, do you allow women to teach children? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, that's super interesting to me. I said, so you allow women to have the most influence in a person's life, which is the first 5 years of their life, that will literally shape their mindsets. But now that they're out of diapers, they can't speak to them. Gets quiet in the room. I said, look, we're going to miss half of what God is saying if women are not in the mix. So I want to piggyback on that just to encourage speaking to the women. You have a voice. We need your voice. We need your lore. Absolutely 100%. Yeah.
You know what's exciting? This is what the world has wrong. In every conversation on equality, it's wrong in this sense. There's an assumption in man's wisdom and understanding that equality demands someone else to step down from power. The assumption is you acquired power wrongfully so you can no longer be powerful, and now other people will begin to be powerful. The very essence of empowerment is that we're all powerful at the same time. Isn't this culture of honor? Culture of honor says there's more room at the table. You're not grounded from the table. No, stay here. Let's just add some more seats. Come on, somebody. We don't need less powerful men. We need more powerful men. And we need equally powerful women at the same table, which means men who know what power tastes like and feels like need to start training women how to sit at the table. Because let's just be honest, we had to learn and we got trained. And men are much more likely to train men about how to sit at the table. And so women won't be qualified to sit at the table. They are valuable enough to sit at the table, but they won't be competent to sit at the table unless women are given the opportunity to know how to do it. And I'm just speaking straight at you right now. I don't play any games on this stuff. 60% of my clients are women. And women are like hungry to grow. Hungry to grow. And they're like, how do I do it, Drew? Just tell me what to do. I'm going to do it. How do I build this thing? Tell me how to do it, and I'm all in. And men got their egos. They think they've got everything figured out. They don't want to be coached. They don't want to learn. They want to do it some other way. And women are there taking notes, applying, and getting radical results right now. It's impressive. 66% of all businesses started in the African-American community are started by women. If we're going to see an economic transition for African Americans in the workplace, it's going to be because we helped African American women run better businesses. Grow. They just need to grow. We're just growth away. They're there. They're killing the game. It's amazing. I've been working a lot in this in Detroit, helping female African American entrepreneurs expand their business because they're just opportunity of development away from being able to scale their businesses at the next level. And we're going to see a new inheritance and a new legacy in that community because of it. But I'm not a problem. I'm a solution. So I'm a 40-year-old white male in America right now. And I am not going to be swayed by any political narrative, any political message about who I'm supposed to be, my assumptions or whatever, any of that. All I know is that in the kingdom of God, I have a responsibility to be who I am and create opportunity to dignify everyone with value in front of me because they're a child of God. Come on, somebody. That's solving a problem. Because I get to be a conservative white male and empower people who completely disagree with me. Because it's not actually about my politics. My politics are meaningless. Meaningless in the kingdom. Because it's about people. It's not about colors. AKA red and blue. I got less yes on that one. Come on, who wants some wonder, some wisdom, and some understanding so we can solve the world's greatest problems right now? Come on, there's an anointing for solutions that is available in the heart of God, and the earth is groaning for it. Amen. Groaning for it. Groaning for you to know who you are in Christ, to know your purpose, to know who you are and why you exist, so that what you build will proliferate the kingdom and not some man-made agenda. We need divine wisdom to know how to build heaven on earth with mothers and fathers and sons and daughters and grandfathers and grandmothers and great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers to come and prosper together like we've never seen before. This is why I'm devoting my life to raise up a generation of solutionaries. We will solve the world's greatest problems, and it will be through the gift of wisdom and understanding and knowledge proliferating into the body of Christ. The presence of God is here right now in such a significant way. There is impartation available here right now because this man and this man has sacrificed with our families to be in a point where God and the reality of wisdom and understanding would be present among us. And there is something that is going to be released right now in this room over your life through an impartation. Dan McCollum prophesied over me 3 years ago, and he said, Drew, he said, in the same way that Sean Bowles was used by God to restore words of knowledge, and in the same way that Bill Johnson was used to restore the goodness of God in the body of Christ, God is about to raise you up to restore words of wisdom in the earth. And God has mandated me to explore the depth of wisdom, the architect's anointing, and to pursue his heart to understand, not so I can be awesome, but that we can proliferate a movement of architects. The architect's anointing so that we would know how to build heaven on the earth. We need to know how. I was marked and visited by the angel of the wind of change in 2018 after Daniel gave me the word. And there was literally a mantle of wisdom that was pushed over me. I don't see in the spirit. I haven't seen angels. I never talked to angels. But that time I did. It marked my life. And it began to accelerate things. And the prophet, Doug Addison, told me, he said, Drew, you're going to be visited between the months of May and September. This was in April. He said, you can be visited by the angel of the wind of change. And when you do, there's a new thing that's going to come over you of an international profile. And he began to tell me about all these things were going to happen. And one of the important attributes of this angel was that it was the get or done angel. He said, Drew, you're about to get things done at a level you've never gotten done before. There's going to be a divine acceleration because of the alignment of who you are and what God's called you to do. And you're going to begin to have results that are almost like effortless, meaning that things are just going to come together. You're going to put in the time. You're going to put in the focus. But the results are going to blow your mind away at what was possible because God's going to multiply it because you're going to have the divine strategies on how to get there. There is wisdom. The person of wisdom is in the room right now, just so you know. The angel of the wind of change is here and with me and in the room right now to bring you into an awakening of the restoration of words of wisdom, that you would begin to know how in a way like you've never seen before. That your mind will begin to see information in a way like you've never seen before. That your mind will begin to arrange things in categories and in patterns like you've never done before. The architect's anointing is available and it's here. And right now, I want to pray over all of you. And I want you to stand if you want to receive that. Can we get some soft music in the background, please? Thank you so much. Something with no lyrics, please. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, we lift our expectation to receive. The Lord wants to know, how much do you want? How much do you want? How many people? How many solutions? How much dignity? How much value? How much heaven is enough? How much do you want through your life? How much purpose? How much anointing? How much breakthrough? The Lord says, if you want wisdom, ask. Come on, just start to ask. Ask for how much wisdom you want. Ask for how much wisdom you want. You're not getting it from me. You're getting it from the Father. Ask Him for how much you want. Oh! We want wisdom! We want wisdom, Father. Give us your wisdom. Align us with your wisdom. Restore your gift of wisdom in us and through us. He who desires, let him ask. Let him ask. Romande de dara makare na 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 mande. Rondo lo 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 mayera na 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 make na 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 mate na 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 mate. Come on, there's a new anointing being birthed in the room right now over your life. It's carving out space. It's opening up awareness of wisdom in your life. Romande da da make pate na 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 mate. Come on, there's open heart surgery happening right now. Limitations are being broken off right now. Father, we ask for an outpouring of your Spirit in this place. That the restoration of wisdom, words of wisdom would be made manifest. Angel of the wind of change, release that fresh wind right now. I call you into alignment in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We open up the fountains of wisdom. We open up the restoration of wisdom in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah, Lord. I see streams of light flowing throughout the top of the building and flowing down to the top of your head. Just begin to receive the light. Let there be light. Let there be light. Yes. Let there be light. We would understand. We would understand. We can understand. We can know. I thank you for the treasury of understanding, Father. The treasure within understanding that's falling in this room.
Whoa.
Reach up. It's right above you. Grab a hold of that. It's right above you. We want to understand. We want to understand your heart, Father. We want to understand your mind. We want to build what's on your heart. We want to build what's on your mind. Let everything that's tried to constrict you, restrict you, suppress you, compress you, depress you, lock you in a box that says, you can't do that. You're not gifted enough. You're not anointed enough. You're not educated enough. You're not from the right family line. You were told that you can't do that. I break off every limitation off your life. Any words spoken over women, you don't have anything to say. You need to be quiet. You need to get in your place. Let those words begin to fall off. I call out the roar of the woman right now. Let the women roar as a lioness. They have something to say. Thank you, Father. We honor the voice of your daughters. Whoa. Now there's designs and geometry falling into the room. Time to build. I never took geometry. Oh well. Grab a hold of it. That's what children do. Children can play in a box all day long. Whether it's square, or triangle, rectangle, circular. Thank you, Father. We're not the adults of God. So help any of us that have become a little too adult-like. I call back the childlike faith. The one that believed anything is possible. The one that believed I can do anything. What do you want to do when you grow up? So restore that right now. Childlike faith, childlike wonder. We want to pull on the wonder, pull on the wisdom, pull on the understanding. Religion is serious business. It demands your serious attention. Lord, if we've got religious panties, will you just loosen those up? Whoop! We'll be able to move around a lot easier. Thank you.
Oh, the religious demons are gone now.
Goodbye.
Hey! Father, right now, I thank you for the builder's anointing, the builders of joy, the builders of hope, the builders of faith, the builders of love. Father, release the builder's anointing. Release the builder's anointing. Release the builder's anointing. That those who read it may run towards it. Father, I declare, Lord, that the builder will run. That the builders will begin to run. That as they read it, they will run towards it, God. I declare the running ability of the builder. I stir it up. I awaken the builder's anointing, God. And I declare we know how to integrate. We know how to bring things together. We know how to manifest solutions in Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for the staying power of the builder, the perseverance of the builder. Lord, I declare right now a fresh anointing to finish what we start in the room right now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, if you deal with that, if you start many things but don't finish, come on, put your hand on your own head right now. Father, I declare right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the ability to finish. I release the builder's anointing right now to finish what we start, to finish what we start, to finish what we start, to finish what we start in Jesus' mighty name. Stir it up, 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 stir it up. Builder's anointing, builder's anointing in Jesus' mighty name. Architects and builders, architects and builders, architects and builders in this house, in this house, in this house in Jesus' mighty name. Romande raramakera nanaramate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, now that you got set free, let it just let that builder's anointing get in there. Now that you're loosened up, let that builder's anointing get in there. Legacy builders, arise, 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 arise. Legacy builders, arise. More capacity, more capacity. More capacity. Stretch your hands forward, church. More capacity right here. Right here. In Jesus' mighty name. More capacity. More capacity. Fresh wind. Bigger sails. More wind. Bigger sails. More wind. Bigger sails. In Jesus' mighty name. We birth it right now, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Fresh oil, new anointing, more capacity, new competency, God. We declare it in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Roma mara na 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 ma keta na 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 ma te. Rolo lo 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 ma te na 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 ma te. Romo mo la ma 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 te ta na 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 ma ke. Pray in the spirit, church. La ma 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 na na ma keta na 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 la 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 ma te. Expansion, expansion, expansion. Expansion, expansion, expansion. Expansion, expansion, expansion. More capacity. More wind, bigger sails. More wind, bigger sails. More wind, bigger sails. Roma pate nanamake. A priest and a king. A builder and an architect. In Jesus' mighty name. Roma ke mananamashe malalalamaye. Roma yeta nanamaye. Roma yeta nanaramake. Thank you, Lord. 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 There's a shift in the room right now. You feel the peace coming right now? We just shifted into peace. That means the gift has been given. It's been dropped in place. You need to shift into gratitude right now. Begin to thank the Lord for what He's done. No matter if you felt it, you see it, just begin to thank the Lord, because in the Spirit, it's done. Come on, begin to shift into gratitude. Begin to open up your mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just say, I receive it. I have received it. Come on, just begin to tell the Lord. Thank Him right now. I receive the gift of wisdom. I receive the architect's anointing. I receive the gift of understanding. I receive the builder's anointing. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. 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 All right. Right now, there's such an unction in the room. I want us to begin to prophesy over one another. All right. I want you to begin to prophesy over one another. Get in groups of two or three, four at the max, and just begin to prophesy over one another. If you're not comfortable prophesying, ask someone how to do it. And start doing it. Release the unction right now. Come on, release your breakthrough over one another. Come on, just begin to prophesy. Come on, when the Spirit pours out, we prophesy. When the Spirit pours out, we prophesy. Come on, call things into the now. Freely you've received, now freely give. Thank you, Lord.
How many of you guys are feeling encouraged right now? Can we just give the Lord a praise right now? Can we do that? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You know, we just wanted to share finally before we end tonight. I know many of you guys have other home churches and you won't be here in the morning, but it would be our joy and our honor to disciple you in this. You guys, we've literally just scratched the surface. And for the next 9 months, we're going to go deep on these things: wonder, wisdom, and understanding. And if you feel like you gained something tonight, that deposit, and you want to be discipled in this, Brian and I are going to be, for the next 9 months, discipling, mentoring. Our next school is literally called Wonder, Wisdom, and Understanding. It starts in the end of September, and we would be just so honored for you to go on a journey with us. No light.
It'd be amazing to have you guys. Our first school was super fun. And there's two main options. You can do like a basic membership that gives you access to every month, 2 hours with us every single month, all the replays. You get free access to the 9 months we did in Divine Intelligence, that you can access all those sessions. And then we have a premium membership. Premium gives you an additional hour in a small group with Drew and I every single month. So you're actually getting 3 hours every single month. And if you choose that you also get the third hour of the first school as a part of that free package as well. So we would love to have you. Wednesday. Once a month on a Wednesday night, if you can't make it live, you'll always get access to the replay.
So we'd be honored to, you know, our desire is to have as much impact as possible, to proliferate this message and get it in the hearts, but not just get it in the heart, but get it into action. And so it'd be our honor to disciple you, particular to this, because we believe in the vision of the house, we believe in the vision of your life, and we believe that it's necessary to have these tools in your life to realize that potential. And so it'd be our joy, and so the website we gave you earlier that you logged on to, all the information's there. Check it out. And we would love to see you be a part of that. And actually, which is super fun, it is an online school, but the first session is going to be live and in person, also online, but it's going to be with Bill Vanderbush. Anybody know and love Bill Vanderbush? In Tampa, Florida. So it's September 29th, live in Tampa, Florida. We're gonna have a riot. And so if you want to join us live, you're feeling crazy, want to get on an airplane, get in the sun. You guys have sun here in Texas, but it's a different sun there. Come and join us live in Tampa. If not, of course, it'll be online as well. And but that'll be just a lot of fun. We'd love to make a memory with you, have some time together, hang out, and we're going to share some meals. It'll be a lot of fun. So divineintelligence.co, we'd be honored to partner with you in that way.
Why don't you guys give God praise?
Thank you so much for joining us as we seek first after God's kingdom and release it to transform lives and cities. If you would like more information about how to grow in the kingdom or connect with Legacy, go to our website, www.legacynv.com.